Last week, we took a brief step out of ordinary time in order to celebrate the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. And at the beginning of Mass, as many of you remember, we held those candles in our hands. The candles, much like the ones that were presented to us at our baptism, were then lit from the Easter candle, which represents the light of Christ, the Son of God, who is the true light of the world. And after receiving this light for ourselves, we were then encouraged to take that light to the world, especially those places that are enshrouded in darkness and need that light the most. Now this week we step back into ordinary time, the fifth week of ordinary time, and we pick up the story as Jesus has now called his first disciples to himself, and he's begun this time of preparation as he gets them ready to join him in his public ministry. And it's during this time of formation and instruction, in fact, today in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, that he tells them, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." Now, when we hear those phrases today, they might sound a bit odd to us. So I want to spend some time taking a look at each of them, because they're essential to our understanding of what it means to be a Christian in our world today. But let's take a look at them in reverse order. Let's start with the phrase, "You are the light of the world." Because this seems very much like what we heard last week when we were holding those candles in our hands. Jesus is now telling his disciples that they are to be the ones that bring the light of Christ, the light of revelation of God's love and mercy, to those places of darkness, those places that lack hope, mercy, peace, joy, and love. And the disciples themselves are to be the light that leads others along that path to eternal life. They're not supposed to be a people who just point to the light and say to others, "Go that way, do this, don't do that, follow Christ." Instead, he's telling them to live their lives in such a way that they become the light. He wants them to allow that light of life, hope, and encouragement not only to shine on them and brighten their own lives, but also to shine through them so as to bring clarity, understanding to the world around them. He wants them to be the shining examples of what it means to love God, to love your neighbor, to love your enemies, and to put others' needs ahead of your own, and to live in a righteous manner that not only brightens the world around them, but also leads others to glorify God by doing those same righteous deeds. Now, Jesus also tells them in that second phrase that they are the salt of the earth. And keep in mind that salt has many functions. Back then, and it is now, still used as a preservative. It helps dry and cure meats to keep them for a long time. We also sometimes use it to melt snow and ice, as we did with the great snowpocalypse here on Thursday. I was out of state, but I heard enough about it. So, now, when most people think of salt, though, they think about its ability to enhance the flavor of our food. Salt doesn't necessarily add it flavor to the food, but rather it brings out the flavors that are already there. It brings what is otherwise not tasted, not recognized, or seemingly absent to the forefront. And so as Christians, you and I are to look at the world and see the good that God has already put there, and to bring that goodness to the forefront. Our words, our thoughts, our actions, our relationships, everything that we do is meant to elevate others and the world around us, not to tear it down. And that starts with the presumption that there is good in almost everything and in everyone. It does not mean that we are to go about ignoring what is bad or what is evil or wrong in some sort of Pollyannish way, but instead we are to focus on bringing out the goodness and the glory of God that is sometimes deeply hidden. If we as Christians, who are called to be the salt of the earth, fail to do that, if we lose our flavor, so to speak, then who else will do it? And then what value do we really have when we fail to act and behave in the manner in which God created us to do? So whether we use the metaphors of salt, light, or even leaven as Christians, we are to work alongside Christ in his mission to transform this world into the kingdom of heaven. How do we do that in very practical ways? Well, look at our first reading from the prophet Isaiah, because it basically describes what all of us would call and undoubtedly have memorized the corporal works of mercy. Share your bread with the hungry. Shelter the oppressed and the homeless. Clothe the naked. And do not turn your back on your own. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, remember them in your thoughts and prayers. Write them a check. Make them a donation. Support politicians who will enact programs that will do these things. All of those things are good things to do, and we should do them. But not to the exclusion of actually doing some of this work ourselves. You and I have to take our responsibility to help our brothers and sisters who are in any type of need very personally. They're not a burden on our society. They are not unredeemable, worthless, or even a threat to our way of life. Now, they may be rough around the edges at times, but no matter how hard that exterior might be, or how they keep their true identity hidden under layers of sin, woundedness, or maybe just difficult personalities, the truth is that they are beloved children of God. And as their brothers and sisters, as members of that same family, you and I, in the various ways in which we're involved in this world, must do what we can to help those who are unable to help themselves. And most importantly, to do it with a joyful heart. Cardinal Francis George, he's the late Archbishop of Chicago. He was having this fundraiser for the Archdiocese, so the room was filled with the highest, most powerful, influential donors that he had. And he says this, "The poor need you to draw them out of poverty. You need the poor to keep you out of hell." Now, I'm sure those words raised a few eyebrows and perhaps shocked many people in the room and even made them feel pretty uncomfortable. But that was probably Cardinal George's intention, because he wanted them to understand that as members of the body of Christ, we all need one another. If we are the ones who are among the poor, then we need our brothers and sisters to be that salt of the earth and the light of the world that helps lift us out of poverty, whether we're talking about spiritual, material, financial, or psychological poverty, and then lead us closer to Christ. If we are the ones among the rich, then we need to help the poor, and we need them to help us extend ourselves beyond our own concerns. That is, to live not only for ourselves, but for others. And in the process, be sanctified by living more and more like Christ, to give of ourselves as completely as Christ gave himself to his church and make of ourselves a gift to others. My friends, this is what it means to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. To use Jesus' own words, if you and I fail to do that to the best of our ability, what good are we? We've lost our flavor. We've kept our light hidden under a bushel basket. And so here's the challenge this week. Some might call it homework. Is to find a way in your own life, in your family, your school, perhaps work, to be that light. To help others first to see their own goodness and to bring that goodness to the forefront. Lead someone closer to Christ just by allowing Christ's light to shine brightly through your words, through your actions, through your kindness. You could sum it all up with the words of St. Catherine of Siena. Be who God created you to be, and you will set the world on fire.